So I do want to point out one very obvious thing about the gospel, and that is prostitutes and tax collectors are getting in before the religious leaders because they convert. It's not just because they're prostitutes and tax collectors that, okay, so let's not, you know, since I've been in seminary, I've heard that one. It's not just because, you know. No, they converted. They converted. And the religious leaders did not convert, and that's the evidence of it right there. But that's not really what I want to talk about this afternoon. What I'm about to say, I've been working over for a long time because it's something that is hard to understand. It's really difficult to understand, and it's the woke ideology that is currently sweeping across our culture right now. And it's so subtle that it's hard to get your mind around it, and it's so subversive that it's a moving target, constantly moving. So you try to pin it down, it's like a squeaky pig. You can't. It's impossible because they've moved since you nail them here and they go, oh no, you know, I'm over here now. You know, it's like constantly moving. And but I want to talk about it mainly from the standpoint of its opposition to the Catholic faith. That's what I want to talk about. And it comes through in very surprising ways. There's enough people that have been attempting to understand the woke ideology now sweeping across our culture and have begun to be able to articulate it. I mean, that's a tough thing to do. Again, it's very subtle, but it's poisonous. It poisons your mind, it poisons your will when you've awakened. And enough have been writing about it, though, that they've been able to begin to talk about it. And I guess my interest in looking at it specifically today stems from the first reading where Ezekiel says, the Lord in this chapter in Ezekiel is in opposition to this saying of the Israelites. The elders have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edge. It's a little proverb that was around at the time. And the Lord calls Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, I don't like that saying. Because what it says is the children are blaming their mom and dad for all their troubles. And what I say to you is, if those children get into trouble, it's on their shoulders, not the parents. And if the parents get into trouble, it's on their shoulders, not their kids. Everyone, as they come before me, is going to be responsible for himself or herself. And that's it. And I think that's important for us to hear because the woke ideology is slapping that right in the face. And one of the things that is evident within it is it's taking down the culture as we know it, and destroying it. And one of the ways it's doing that is to pit different groups in the society against each other. And two of those groups it's pitting against each other is parents against their children and children against their parents. Because that's what woke ideology does. It has grown up in the soil of Marxist ideology. And we know enough about Marxist ideology to say that what it does when it comes on the scene is it first destroys what is there with the promise of replacing it with something better. And every time they try to replace it, millions of people have lost their lives. So the Russian Revolution, Nicholas the Tsar and Alexandra murdered. And all that wealth of that noble family was taken and given to this new group of elites, violating the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. Well, that's typical. That's what Marxist ideology wants to do. It wants to steal what is yours, so I get it. And that's unfortunate because it really does set up a new elite class. In each instance where Marxism has thrived, there's a new elite class And they continue oppressing the poor that they promised they would liberate. And in Stalin's case, he murdered millions of them, as in Mao as well. He murdered millions of poor people who got in his way, but were with him shoulder to shoulder and throwing over the status quo of the previous culture. But then they were no longer convenient to him, and he dispensed with them. This is all part of the historical record. Now, in China, the Marxist ideology played out a little differently. It began in military conflict, as did the Russian Revolution, and it was pitting economically poor people against economically wealthy people. Just because you're wealthy, you're evil, and so we got to destroy you. Well, what does it mean? We destroy the rich, and guess what? All their riches become ours. Breaking the seventh commandment again. There's a real, you have fallen, greedy capitalists simply being replaced by fallen, greedy communists. They're going to take it for themselves, and that's what happens. And once again, it began in the 1950s, actually the late 1940s in China, as, again, military hardware, guns, shooting each other. It went on for about 3 years until the nationalist Chinese were overthrown by the communist Chinese, and we now have a communist government there. But under Mao, it became cultural Marxism, with a whole new set of new ideas that if you embrace them, you could live, but if you stuck with the old ideas, they would kill you. And of course, Mao, they can't even count the bodies. There's millions of them that didn't go along with the new cultural progressive revolution of Mao. It was a cultural revolution. Well, see, in the United States, what we're doing now is we're beginning with the cultural. But we'll eventually get to the actual violent, since 2020, for example, with the George Floyd stuff in Minneapolis, and I don't want to even comment on that. I'm just saying that what that began is Catholic Church is old guard, 300 documented destruction of churches since 2020 in the United States. 300. I just heard about another one last week. A church burned to the ground in Portland, started by an arson. See, in our country, it's begun cultural. And the way we have done it in our country is it's gone to the universities, graduating students who have then gone into the grade schools and the high schools, and they're imparting the ideology to our kids. And what they're learning is to oppose their parents. They're learning to oppose their parents because their parents are old school, old ideas. They are wedded to the old things. We're progressive. We're going to teach you the new way. You don't want to buy into that old way. First of all, that you got a mom and a dad and want to have kids. Okay. So here I want to just start then, in the interest of the readings, keep it stuck to the readings, because there's so much more that could be said on the woke thing. It's cultural Marxism. That's what we're up against here. It's atheistic, and it's ultimately violent. It's aiming to destroy society as we know it. And you can feel that. I mean, I don't think I have to prove that to you. You can feel it. It's happening around us. But the thing I want to focus on is one of the things that belongs to the old guard, at least in our cultural revolution, is the traditional family. The traditional family today is suffering so much stress that we have a lot of our young people coming out of college that want no part of it. They don't want any part of it. It's just too much stress. And they've absorbed some of this poisonous ideology. So how have we dismantled the family? Well, it started with the pill. We could now have sterilized relationships between men and women. And when that happened, You can actually have sterile relationships with anything and call it marriage. And that's where we progress to. It's sterile sex. That's one way. But we've also instituted abortion on demand, and that's how parents are against their children. Now the children are not wanted. Motherhood becomes traumatized. Fatherhood becomes traumatized. That's one way to start taking down and dismantling the traditional family. Wound men and women severely enough that they won't be able to have children or want to have children. And so that's one way. We got the parents against the children. And now today, with the transgender ideology, which is all part of this, we have children against their parents. And at 5, in the state of California, if you feel as though you're a little girl and have a boy's body, you don't even have to tell your parents that you're going to have the surgery that will make you feel corrected. Parents are being kept out of the loop on this. They're empowering grade school kids against their parents. And they're treating their parents as though they are the ones poisoning you, when in fact, it's these people in the school system that are poisoning them. And right now, the proof of that is that we have tens of thousands of these men and women already who had the surgery, regret it, and no one wants to listen to them. No one wants to hear from them. The books they're publishing, Amazon won't permit them to be put on the shelf for sale. But I think what I'd like to focus on, though, is pay attention to this. The woke ideology is attempting to pit parents against children and children against parents. And one of the ways that children can learn to be against their parents as well is, all the misery in my life is my parents' fault. I can't tell you how many parents I listen to them. They're grieving, they're sorrowful, they're pained. And I mean, some of them, it deals with some of the transgender stuff. Yes, they don't know what's going on with their son or daughter. What did I do to bring this about? Or they've left the faith, they're not practicing their Catholic faith anymore, or they've come out and now they're in some other very disordered relationship, whatever it might be, and they're grieving. And they're either being told you're behind the times because you're not with the new ideas, or all the misery in my adult life is because you had all these faults. And they're trying to guilt their parents. And a lot of the parents take that on. And they're suffering. They're suffering a burden. And I'm the first one to get in line to tell them, you don't take that on based on the first reading in Ezekiel, because when your children get to be adults, what they become is on them, not you. What children become when they leave the home is on them, not mom and dad. And that's the truth. That's what the first reading is saying today. If a virtuous man or woman leaves their virtue and does vice, it's because of their vice that they die, and I hold them accountable for that, and that's why they die. It's their vice. It's not their parents' vice. No. And see, this is why this doesn't do service to young people either. Because young people grow up blaming everybody else for the troubles in their life. And if only I had better parents, or if only I had better brothers and sisters, or if only I had a better family, or maybe if only there was more income in the family and I could wear the Nikes I want and we could afford them, I would finally be happy. My young friends, you're already in, you're right into the equation that's going to make for you to be miserable for the rest of your life. I promise you, you have just embarked upon the most miserable life you will ever know, because you have given up your power to direct your own life when all you do is sit and blame others for your suffering and pain, misery. And I'm talking about in my own life, in my family. I grew up with alcoholic parents, and I could tell you stories that would curl your toes. Some of them I didn't even remember till after I was 60. They were so horrendous. If I had sat, and I did for a while, I have to admit, if I had sat and stayed just blaming my parents for all the misery in my life, I honestly don't know where I'd be today. I know I'd be miserable. At least now I have a crack at being happy, because it's within my power to do so. I was dealt a deck that had some faults in it. All right, that means I have some homework. And who of us didn't grow up in a family with fallen human beings? That's the message of the Bible. If you're looking for material to criticize in a fallen world, you will find it. If you're looking for something to criticize in a fallen world, there's so much material for that, you will definitely find it, and you will become so critical, bitter, negative. Sometimes you may not be able to turn the corner, and you'll have no one to blame but yourself. I want to say that. That's what Ezekiel is saying in the first reading today. And I'm not saying your parents were perfect or your parents are perfect. My parents weren't perfect. I just had to do a little bit more labor to take responsibility, not only for my gifts, but also for my wounds, and not let them saddle me so much that I get sidelined. That's on me. And I'm here to tell all of you young people, it's on you too. And I'm here to say to the parents, your children are responsible for what they become. You can help that along, and I hope you do, and I hope you're trying to do that, because there's no excuse for example, child abuse. None. There's no excuse for that. And I'm not saying here that a child that's been abused in a family like that is not going to have a tough life. It's going to be hard. I know. It's hard. I know from experience it's hard when you go through abuse. It's tough. And now I turn to the one source that got me through it, and it's Jesus. And he's another one that the woke ideology can't stand. And all Jesus wants to do is heal you to the point where you can accept responsibility for your own life and happiness. Because if you're going to wait around, well, until this environment improves outside of me, I can't be happy. Guess what? You're on the deck of the Titanic. The whole thing's going down. If that's your equation for happiness, all this has to change around me, and then I'll be happy. I guarantee you, and I put my hands on this word of God right here, and I say to you, I promise you, you're going to be miserable in life. If that's what you're going to do, is wait for all these circumstances outside of me to improve before you can be happy. And I hear it. The woke ideology says, oh, Father Dan, you're so oppressive, you're so mean, you're so vicious, you have no idea what I've been through. And I say back to the woke people, you have no idea what Christ can do in a person's life. If they've been through even the most severe abuse, you can still be healed. Maybe you'll be still limping. That's all right. That's all right. It's better to limp along the way of salvation than run along the way of perdition. I kind of look at myself as being that. I'm limping. I limp along the way. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be. Why would I want to be? There's no such thing. There's just people who are repenting and loved by Christ, who helps us get up again, whereas the woke simply cancels you and wants nothing to do with you ever again. Unforgiving, the woke ideology. You crossed us once, that's it, you're out. Wow. And then they look at me and say, that's what I'm doing to everyone. And I'm saying, that's not what I'm doing. Not if you represent Christ. So brothers and sisters, here's the deal. I mean, this is opposed to the spirit of the gospel, this woke ideology. It is, because it's atheistic, unforgiving, and very critical. Boy, very critical. And I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for things to criticize, there's no end to it in a fallen world. Where are the men and women who are eventually capable of turning to people who are fallen, weak, and imperfect, and loving them? I know nowhere else to learn that but from this man who forgave us from the cross. I don't know where else you go to learn that. You certainly won't learn it from the woke ideology. But in Christ we do. So brothers and sisters, don't let yourself be seduced by this wokeism. I guarantee you, it'll leave you miserable. Christ wants to empower you to become the captain of your own life with Him, so you can stand erect, hold your head high, and have nothing to apologize for, even if you are weak and fallen, because He loves you. And that's the difference. That's the difference knowing Christ makes. You are loved, no matter what.